Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a really good show for you this week. We're going to talk about the events that have the most impact, both domestically and also internationally. The first thing we're going to talk about also obviously is something that affects the United States to a very great extent, but it affects the international community a lot more, I would have to say. It is probably the most important event that happened in 2022, and that's very definitely the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, and it really, really culminated, I have to say, not culminated, but really hit a high point. I believe it was last Thursday when numerous Russian drones and Russian missiles were fired into the Ukraine, doing a tremendous amount of physical damage and certainly mental damage. Jimmy, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, so last February we saw the actual physical invasion of Ukraine by Russian forces, yeah. But there were indications as far back as fall of 2021. And of course, that was highlighted by the fact that the Biden administration actually sent people to Russia to negotiate. My understanding is, senior cabinet officials or intelligence officials that went to Russia and to Ukraine to maybe calm things down. But what we saw was an inevitable invasion. And we know that the Biden administration knew that they were going to invade and move towards Kiev as early as January, because they evacuated non-combatants and then in February evacuated the embassy from Kiev. So that's a big indicator that they knew that it was going to happen, but they failed to coordinate with the allies in NATO to potentially stave off an election, an invasion with a clear message of unity that might have prohibited it. And what we see is a very long conflict that's continued, where the Russians made massive gains early on and were, within the outskirts of Kiev with major convoys, but then have been beaten back by Ukrainian forces thanks to Western and NATO supply lines and chains, and of course the tenacity of Ukrainian fighters. So it's very, very painful, long, battle that's gone on for now 10 months, and absolutely devastating the Ukrainian people. The Russians have not felt this much at all. And as you say, this last week we saw a large number of strikes on civilian infrastructure, on energy and power, which is just probably an attempt by Moscow to intimidate the population and to force them into submission. But the likelihood is that they're just going to stiffen resistance against a Russian invasion.
Jimmy, I want to bring... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying certainly continue to... get support, the Ukrainians will continue to get support from NATO and Western European allies for the fear of potential spillover from that conflict.
Yeah, I want to tell you, I want to give you another person's opinion on this. Mark Thiessen is probably one of my favorite conservative writers because I think he has a lot of common sense. He put out an article that I got today of the worst things that Biden did and the best things that Biden did this past year. In terms of the best things, let me read this to you, see if you agree with this. He said that in terms of some of the best things that Biden did is, quote, "Biden's handling of Ukraine tops both my best and worst lists this year. Here is the best. After Russia invaded, Biden rallied our allies to support Ukraine's self-defense, providing arms, money, intelligence, and diplomatic support that stops Putin from seizing Kiev." You agree with that?
No, I don't. I don't think that Biden effectively rallied anyone. I think the NATO allies, Jens Stoltenberg, the actual chair of NATO, and the Western allies forced action, However, what he has done is thrown a tremendous amount of money and a lot of equipment into the situation. But again, I don't believe it's a good thing. I don't know what he meant by the worst part of it, but
I'll get it in a couple of days. He hasn't distributed that yet, but as soon as I get it, we'll talk about it. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. So I think that there was massive failures. I do not think this has been an effective coordinated effort because basically they have not pushed towards negotiations. They continue to pour money. It's just a continuation of a very, very damaging thing that could have been prevented and should be pushing towards other solutions than continuation here. So I don't think it's been a success by any means.
Okay, Jimmy, let me ask you this. I agree with you, by the way, and I want listeners to know that I don't think the Ukrainian situation, as far as America's involvement, was handled properly for most of the reasons that Jimmy just said right now. What I'm wondering, and I'm not a military guy, but you are a military guy, U.S. Army intelligence, et cetera, honorable discharge when you decided to quit. I mean, you're a really good source. Russia is right now really stamping on Ukraine in terms of the amount of missiles and drones that they're sending in there, which is very typical of the way that Russia has accomplished war throughout its history. Do you think it's going to work here? Do you think the Ukrainians are going to have to eventually give up here?
No, I don't. I don't think they can at this point and I don't think they will, regardless of the pressure that's put on them. Because even if, in fact, Russian forces were able to, you know, take control of some of these regions, they'd have a tough time with an insurgency that would continue for a long, long time. It's a very costly, very dangerous event for them.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is one, Al, this is one of the biggest international issues right now.
You better.
Affecting, you know, energy prices, affecting everything, global economy. It's affecting many, many things. But one of the biggest issues in the United States right now that is coming to light has been government involvement in censorship.
Yeah.
Getting directly involved in political censorship, as well as censorship over information that the government did not deem effective. And it turns out that it's very damaging information that's coming out from the Twitter files. And we really haven't seen the details of how involved they were with other major tech companies. And certainly we haven't seen how much involvement they've had with major media outlets, corporations, the big, the big three, and of course CNN and MSNBC.
Well, I got to
tell
you,
I got to tell you that a lot of people are going to be very frustrated.
I think we're damn lucky at this point in time that we have somebody like Elon Musk who is, you know, took over Twitter and he is now distributing all the information and some really, which was censored before, and some really damaging things are coming out about the current executive office. Jimmy, let's talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, so we're seeing very clearly that there's ample evidence that the Department of Justice and specifically the FBI was directly involved and funded some of the censorship programs with Twitter, which was the void. And this was in 2020 and as recently as 2022.
Yeah.
That's unbelievably difficult to believe that they were that involved in actually undermining issues that directly affected the outcome of the election in
scary when
2022 and in 2020.
Yeah, it's pretty scary when something that like that happens in a country where government has never been involved in censorship to this point before. I'd like to talk about this a little bit more as the program evolves. We've only got about 8 seconds here before we have to take a commercial break. So let's go ahead and get that out of the way and take the commercial break. You guys stick around. We're going to be right back.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing on with KER Politics. You know, Jim and I both feel a little bit more had to be said about the censorship issue than we had a chance to say in the prior segment. You know, Jimmy, censorship is such a damning excuse of the American, for lack of better terms, government right now on the federal level. I'd like you to continue and elaborate on this a little bit more, if you would, because it's something like this has never happened in the history of America before. I mean, we are clearly censored in many things that are occurring on a daily basis. And Elon Musk, by dumping the Twitter files, is really doing, I would have to say, a service to Americans. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, if you don't have factual information on issues, then you really can't make good decisions. And of course, it directly impacts elections. It impacts our businesses. It impacts our economy. And of course, we know in 2020, and a lot of people understood this, that tech industry silenced information, of course, in major media outlets, corporate media, silenced information about the Hunter Biden laptop, which showed a direct relationship between Joe Biden and potentially illegal activities in conjunction with China, Ukraine, and many other areas. And now, as we get more information from the Twitter file releases, we see that the FBI was directly involved in influencing the information and convincing Twitter to silence information that might have turned the outcome of the 2020 election another direction. And that's the FBI, and of course, Department of Justice is directly involved in that as well. And this is during the end of the Trump administration. But as we saw with the Russian collusion narrative, all these different things that came up were actually lies and manipulation. But here, the government was involved in helping shape those lies.
Yeah.
Very clearly identifying a second form of administrative state that was not under control of the executive branch, where they're making decisions on their own. And this has been really, really an important issue for Americans. The problem is media is still not reporting on this much at all. And we have another area, you know, where it really affects the economy.
Yeah.
And we had the first and second quarters of 2022 turned out to be negative growth. And, by all indications and by all accepted principles in the past, that would be a recession.
Yeah.
But the second quarter numbers for employment were very high based on Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates.
It turned out those numbers were not even close to being accurate.
No, they claimed 1.1 million or more new jobs between March and June of 2022. But it turns out that there was actually only about 10,000, according to the Philadelphia Fed's analysis of those same numbers.
Yeah.
This, again, is influencing and using government officials to lie and in order to protect policies or politics as opposed to actually showing factual evidence to the American people. So many people don't even realize and have not even heard about censorship by the tech companies, have not heard about these fraudulent numbers for the economy, and that would have definitely impacted the election and certainly impacted businesses' decisions and people's jobs and employment. You haven't heard about that. And the sad thing is, so many people are aware of these problems, but we're really, really not addressing them. And that's going to be that basically is like a dystopian governance using propaganda and manipulation to influence the population to vote a certain way.
Jimmy, stop and take a breath just for a second, because you're going to have to say a lot of things to my next question to you. You know, the average American who's driving down the freeway today, perhaps listening to this program on many of the stations that carry it, about 25. But what I want to say is that people don't know specifically the average Joe walking down the street and the average Jane walking down the street don't know specifically how the government has censored. Give us an example, if you would, of some of the examples of censorship that have happened, you know, because of government agencies, et cetera, et cetera. You're on, bud.
Yeah, so it turns out that, well, let's just start with the Hunter Biden issue.
Right.
The Hunter Biden issue, the FBI collected a laptop from a pawn shop or a computer repair shop in 2019. They had that for months before the election. Just prior to the election, Rudy Giuliani exposed it. The Washington Post did an extensive story on it. Twitter suspended Washington Post's their Twitter feed or their Twitter feed, and then actually used algorithms to downplay any information that went out and discussed it. The FBI was directly involved in ensuring that the tech companies thought that that was Russian disinformation. And we know that the 51 former senior intelligence officials from Democratic administrations, CIA officers and a huge number of people also wrote a letter saying that this is probably Russian disinformation, in spite of the fact that the FBI had the laptop and knew that it was factual information. So the FBI and the Department of Justice got involved in silencing that prior to the 2022 election.
Yeah.
That's one area. And the other area that's becoming very clear to others is in COVID and the fact that Anthony Fauci, that the National Institute for Health and the Health and Human Services have been direct reaching out to tech companies in order to silence what they say is disinformation, questioning the effectiveness of COVID jabs, the vaccines, and the potential death impacts. And of course, they reached out to silence people on potential therapeutics like yeah. ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine in other areas, and pushed an agenda that supported big pharma contracts with vaccines for both U.S. and global governments.
Right, and we're going to be talking about that later in the show. You know, there's a number of other things that really haven't hit the press, and this is according to the New York Analysis of Policy and Government, a missive that they put out dated January 2nd. The fact that the Biden administration pushed the fiction that alternative energy could replace fossil fuels is something that is really, in my mind, despicable. I mean, it's great for the people selling electric cars, but it's in terms of the realm of reality, it's not really true. Also, I think the main thing, certainly, that's affecting people in the border states, you know, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, etc., is that the Biden administration is on the record as saying the situation with the southern border with Mexico is totally under control. It's not even close, Jimmy.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
You know, one of the things I think that where the American public is being really led astray is what the executive office is putting out regarding information dealing with illegal immigration on the southern border. We started to talk about that in the last segment and then ran out of time, so we're going to elaborate a little bit on that one right now. You know, if you talk to the average person living in one of the border states, in Texas, let's say, they are absolutely amazed that they're not getting any help at all in terms of illegal immigration. The problems that are going on down there are absolutely amazing. Jimmy, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are overwhelming in some of these towns. El Paso, for instance, you know, they're having 15,000, 16,000 people in 72-hour period come across the border. You know, this is compared to the 50 that went to Martha's Vineyard and got all the attention and the anger from the left.
Yeah.
But many of these border towns are being overwhelmed and overrun, and there's no place to put these people. The border, customs and border agents, they're having to release them. So they're on the streets, and you can see video after video of, you know, massive lines of people crossing the border, and then really, really devastating situations in communities that are trying to care or take care of these people right along the border states. So you're hearing from the Biden administration and from, you know, the Director of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, that the border is secure, yet over 5 million people have crossed the border since Biden administration has taken over the responsibilities for protecting our nation. That's an overwhelming number, and our country just can't absorb that. So the situation is untenable. The major mainstream media is not covering it, and the administration is actually attempting to cover it up and using its influence in order to silence people's voices about the potential problems and how much of an impact it is in America.
That's pretty bad.
And, oh, by the way,
yeah,
most Americans do not agree with an open border. By far, the majority support a secure border.
Right. Well, I think most Americans are law-abiding citizens, and allowing illegal immigration, just closing your eyes or not recognizing at all, is clearly against the law in the United States. Jimmy, let's move on from there.
Yeah, so the other things that I think, you know, we're talking about the government influence in cooperation and coordination, in fact, some cases funding tech companies and influencing media outlets in order to give a particular perspective that is in conjunction with their political philosophy, while simultaneously silencing other voices, certainly conservative voices and people that oppose them, even if they're not conservative. And many of these, you know, very influential academics on the left that are coming out and saying, hey, you know, something's wrong here, they're being silenced as well. That has a huge impact on people, and it has an impact on elections, which shows an attempt to control the outcomes of politics. And what the foundations of our government, the foundations of our Constitution.
It strikes me,
here we have actual law enforcement agents.
Yeah, it strikes me that the plan may be backfiring to an extent right in their faces, because a lot of the vote right now is not going the way that they would like it to go as far as the Latino population is concerned. Mexicans can be very conservative people, and the Democrats are clearly not getting 100% of their vote right now.
Well, it's a slow process, and
right.
Actually, many minority groups, Hispanics, Black Americans, Asian Americans, are all moving away in some level from Democratic policies. However, the Democrats have been really pushing, lack of voter, no requirements for voter ID.
Right.
Mail-in ballots, ways to increase the ability to change the outcomes of elections, especially in the states that they control. So that's an important issue. I think the real issue that's going to come up and turn the tide as we get more science and more information on the COVID response and mandates with vaccinations, and then the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of vaccinations, and the actual attempts by the government to silence voices that were actually looking at science and saying, hey, something's wrong here. I think as that opens up, it'll open up a can of worms for this administration and this White House to manage.
Oh, it's
true. I think that's where people...
Yeah, it already has opened a can of worms. On December 29th, Daniel Horowitz wrote an article entitled "Possibly the Most Important Study on COVID Shots Might Explain Why COVID Never Seems to End." Jimmy, let's talk about that article.
Yeah, so basically it's a very large German study, and that study outlined the fact that mRNA vaccines not only don't stop the virus, but by putting that into your system, it may have a direct impact on your body's immune system that allows you to continue to get sick and be susceptible not only to COVID, but to other diseases as well. It's a very big study. It's a very detailed study. And that is consistent with a large number of studies that are coming out to showing that many of the narratives that were pushed by the government and certainly by Health and Human Services and Dr. Anthony Fauci and some of the other people that were vocally supporting and mandating vaccinations, and of course the Biden administration that was mandating vaccinations in order for people to keep their job,
yep,
in fact were wrong and it may be dangerous. And when you add that to the excess death numbers that are beginning to show up, and they're very significant, especially in younger age populations, people are going to really wonder how much, and lose faith, trust and faith in their government, but they're going to wonder how long they're going to live because of some of these, failed actions.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting.
More and more research coming.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Horowitz kind of summed up that article by saying, quote, "Wherever you turn, the most vaccinated countries are not only experiencing rampant side effects from the shots, but worse outcomes from COVID itself following their endless booster campaigns." What's going on, Jimmy? How did this thing get so out of hand? Because it is truly out of hand.
I think the entire effort was, when the Chinese government got involved and was a proponent of lockdown policies, Anthony Fauci sent one of his staff members over to look at how they were responding to the pandemic, and there had been a large number of exercises and trainings and planning, and so they took that template and started operating based on what their planning was for a very dangerous disease. It turns out that COVID was not nearly as dangerous. But then the response, and this was during the Trump administration, was to pull together a large number of pharmaceutical companies to try to come up with a vaccine. And, of course, this is being pushed by these health organizations as well as by the pharmaceutical companies. Now, once that got going, it was hard to stop. And then the influence, the number of dollars that were involved, the amount of government, basically, in my view, just failed policies and oversight, really started to collapse the system, and it unfortunately collapsed our economy, and it's been very damaging.
It certainly did. Yeah, the lockdowns really, really played a major role in tightening up of our economy in terms of the results, the GDP numbers, et cetera, et cetera. It also had a very, very largely negative effect on the psychologies of people. Hey, you guys, we got to take a commercial. We'll be right back. Okay, here to wrap up KER Politics. No program like this would be complete if we didn't give it what we think was going to happen in 2023. Jimmy, where do you want to start? I'd like to keep this into the arena of political offices.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be, certainly with the Republicans taking the House, there's going to be a large number of investigations. There are people inside Washington and some Republicans that like the way the system is that are saying, oh, we don't care about investigations. And of course, the Democrats are pushing that a lot. I think there was even an opinion piece in Fox News on their front page the other day saying, hey, we don't care about your investigations. But these investigations are critical to highlight the censorship programs that are going on, the lack of accountability with the money that was put into Ukraine so far. How the government response to COVID has probably done more damage than good. And when you get these investigations, there's going to be a lot of pressure out there.
A lot of pressure in what direction, Jim?
I think there's a lot of pressure, certainly on Democrats that have been in the leadership position for the last, you know, few years.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, I've got a lot of speculation of what potentially could happen. I definitely think as the Hunter Biden story unfolds, and the laptop story, and the involvement of Joe Biden in those business decisions, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the White House. I think they know that. I think as more information comes up on January 6th about what failed to take place, what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats failed to do in securing the Capitol, and it looks like that as you know, they've already backed away from the subpoena for Trump this last week.
Right.
As you know, the January 6th committee, as there's more information that comes out on the political manipulations behind the scenes, that's going to put pressure on people. I think I'll give this one prediction. I think Manchin, West Virginia senator, as he is up for reelection, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to probably step away from the Democratic Party or lose his seat. So I'm predicting he'll either do what Kristen Sinema did in Arizona, move to independent, or potentially actually switch to the Republican Party in support of his political future.
Yeah.
Well, I also believe that the—
Go ahead. Let's get down to the really big question. Let's get back to the really big question. Number one, who do you think the Democratic Party will choose to be their representative for the office of president? I clearly don't think it's going to be Joe Biden, but he, you know, is certainly telling the American public that he has no intention of not running. But, you know, when you really have to look at the confidence level, competence, not confidence, you really have to look at the competence level, and I'm not really sure. I'm not really happy with Joe Biden being the forerunner for America. So who do you think will take his place if it happens?
So I think what's going to happen, and this is another prediction that I'm going to put forward here, I think there's going to be so much pressure from these investigations on his involvement in China dealings and Ukraine dealings with Hunter Biden and those business dealings. I think that Joe Biden's going to be forced to resign. And it could be over health reasons. It could be over corruption issues. I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure as they lose more and more the confidence of the American public. So I think as he resigns, there's a couple scenarios here. One is that Kamala Harris actually becomes the president because of his resignation, or that entire administration has to change and they have to pull someone else in.
Yeah,
fill it. I think the front runner, the people that the behind the Democratic Party are already looking at Gavin Newsom from California the front runner. I think he's been preparing for a run at the White House. There'll be maybe a few others that step in if Biden does not. But if they wait too long, the funders and the support is not going to be there for Joe Biden. It'll be very tough for another candidate to step in. But at the same time, Joe Biden's mental capacity and of all these other issues behind that are, you know, going to, behind the pressure to force him out will make it very difficult for him to run. I'm also going to predict that Nancy Pelosi does not finish her term, last two terms out in the House. Even though she stepped down from the speaker role, I think the problems with her husband, and of course, this whatever happened at her house. And I also think the January 6th, information that comes out with the Republicans in the lead she'll just step down from age and whatever other justification and have Gavin Newsom appoint another Democratic representative in her seat out of San Francisco's district.
Yeah, well, the one thing I would have to say is it's really important to realize that she didn't step down voluntarily. You know, the Republicans took control of the House, and consequently they get to choose the speaker, and it's not going to be Nancy Pelosi. I agree 100% on that. I'm really concerned, though, with the team that's going to represent the Democrats in the 24 election. I don't think Joe Biden, either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, really fit that role as they should.
No, and that's why I really don't think either one of them will be on the ticket. Kamala Harris may run. You know, I really didn't expect Joe Biden to last this long in the presidency, but I think because of the selection of Kamala Harris, it made it really hard for the Democratic Party to push him out, even yeah. though they probably wanted to. Here's the problem, though, Al. This is what, you know, we just have to accept. There was a high expectation of the Republicans to sweep very strongly the 2022 midterm elections,
yeah.
but they didn't.
No,
they didn't because of a lot of different reasons, but part of it is because many people don't understand with the media and the censorship and the government involvement in actual information flow, people didn't understand all the negative things that were happening in America right now with this administration. And even you get people like Mark Thiessen who says, hey, he did a great job supporting Ukraine. There's no transparency in that process. There's been, in my view, a complete failure to take proper actions to coordinate this event prior to the what happened. And but people don't recognize that. They only look at, oh, big bad Russia beat up, you know, poor innocent Ukraine. That's
yeah.
not the whole story.
No.
They don't understand what happened with Hunter Biden and the laptop. They don't understand. They don't see the information about COVID because it's still being silenced in some ways. What has to happen is a massive movement by the American people and certainly by the Republican leadership in the House to open up the and become transparent with all this corruption and all of the influence that the government was doing in order to stifle people's future.
I really wonder sometimes if the average American, number one, is even aware of it as they should be, and number two, is the average American really concerned about it? My guess is, in terms of the liberal side of the aisle, my guess is that a lot of Americans don't even care about that. A lot of people who I talk to don't even really see it. It doesn't seem to bother them, you know, one whit. Let's get over to the other side of the aisle. Who's going to be the presidential candidate and the vice presidential candidate, Jim, in your opinion?
Well, I think I still have to say that Donald Trump probably has the advantage. And the reason why he has the advantage is because he's been in the office already. He has a very, very loyal constituency of 20 to 30% of the Republican Party that are not really Republicans. They're independents or former Democrats that were really tired of the corruption in D.C. And if he's not running, even if Ron DeSantis is running, they're probably not going to be voting because they're just so frustrated with the system.
Yeah.
So that puts them with an advantage. You know, there'll be other candidates that try to step in. Mike Pence is going to try it. He's not going to go anywhere. Pompeo's probably not going to go anywhere. Chris Christie's not going to go anywhere. DeSantis has an opportunity, but if DeSantis and Trump go head-to-head, that'll just tear apart the party. I think
and that's a big concern, Jim. Yeah, that's a big concern. We've only got 30 seconds left, Jim. What about Mike Pence? Is he going to be a player? I don't think so.
No, he's not. And let me give one more prediction here. First of all, I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and let's pray that 2023 opens up the books on things.
You bet.
But I think there's going to be some sort of attempted coup against Vladimir Putin, some very big problems there, and that war is going to continue on for some period of time until that regime kind of collapses.
I agree 100%. I, too, want to wish everybody a happy and a prosperous new year. It's fun putting the show together. Thanks, guys. We'll be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.